folks. Welcome back. Sorry, I'm still a little wound up from my little experience today. So I'm trying to get into the mode of being a host instead of a stranded victim. But we're just gonna have a
CIA involvement, and that'll give you something to.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. We're gonna go on another break, just top of the hour break here. Or actually, was that the top of the hour break? Maybe I think this is a long segment, so we can actually get into some good stuff here. Okay. Correct me if I'm wrong, my friend, but let's really go into this, because, like I said, everything is connected. There is no random. One of the things, for instance, that I find constantly is that these studies are geared towards things like transhumanism and genetics. Basically eugenics as far as genetic perfection, all this CRISPR stuff. And of course, CRISPR is a whole can of worms that causes all kinds of cancers and all this stuff, because you're messing with stuff you don't understand. But all of this stuff seems to be revolved around creating either the super soldier, super student, the super worker, or just basically creating what they constantly refer to as synthetic environments within the body, or synthetic things to replace real things. And of course, that's the political part, that's the for-profit part, because in order to patent anything, you literally have to corrupt it. You have to pervert it into something that is not natural. You have to combine it into a compound, which of course is two or more chemicals or whatever put together, and then you can patent it, and then you can say, well, you can't, you know, I own this cancer. And do you know, folks, for instance, that every cancer out there has a patent on it? Do you know that every flu strain, everything in vaccines, everything in drugs, do you know these things, all these diseases have patents? Do you know that 40% of the genes in your body now have patents on them? Do you know that the syndicalist system between the universities, who own most of the patents, and governments and private corporations out there, do you know that basically all these diseases, all these treatments, if you want to call them that, are patented? That we're dealing, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the impression that I'm getting, is that we're dealing with, there is no rabies, there's only vaccine-induced rabies anymore in the wild. There's no wild-type diseases going around anymore. They're all vaccine-type or vaccine-strain, which are, again, patented. And we're suffering from basically a grand experimental phase of trying to make everything synthetic so that the entire earth, essentially the food, the water, everything is, it's all being patented so that everything becomes property, because of course you cannot make anything in nature as actual property. It's all legal fiction. So you have to alter it. You have to come up with something new, or what they call novel. It's like the whole world is being synthesized, including us.
Yes. Like I tell everyone in my lectures, when you eat, you get food the closest as you can get it to the way God put it here before man gets a chance to screw it up. Because he'll do anything he can to prove to you that he's better than God. He can do everything better than God. Their egos are beyond belief.
I couldn't agree more.
The problem where we should start is with the fact, I think most people have heard the word serotonin now. They know that serotonin is a neurotransmitter in the brain. What most don't know is that neurotransmitters were called neurohormones until they decided to come up with a different word to make it more difficult for you to understand. that these are just hormones produced by the brain, which is a gland. So what they have known for decades, about six decades, is that when you increase serotonin in the brain, you produce a whole host of really awful things that can happen, including schizophrenia, depression, violence. It goes on and on and on. Headaches, you name it. It's in there. Anxiety. So they've known that, and then they turn around and put out these drugs. Now, LSD and PCP produce psychosis by mimicking serotonin. So when you take those drugs, your body and brain react as if you've got a huge dose of serotonin in your brain. And what do these antidepressants do? They very gradually, over time, increase the serotonin level so that you gradually go insane and it looks like it's you instead of the drug, so that they can avoid being held accountable for what happens to you, because it looks like it's a natural process. It is insidious. And where that comes from, the CIA, when they were organized, and when I first found this, it really shocked me. But since I found the rest, it does more than shock me.
Just to be clear, it's biblical. I mean, we're talking about exactly what was warned about through this sorcery or pharmacopoeia. This is exactly what we're warned about.
And if you go to our website at drugawareness.org and Google or do a search on the site for spirituality, it will pull up an article that a minister asked me to write for his congregation on this. And it goes right in and explains, it shows you the scripture where we were told flat out that the whole world would be deceived by prescription drugs in our day, and that it would be the cause of death of prophets, saints, and all good men. It's scary.
And that's a spiritual death. That's not even referring to physical death. It's referring to, because a good man is a spiritually oriented man. A good man is a spiritually oriented man. And if, you know, both Huxley, you had Rudolf Steiner, whose schools are now being attacked for being non-vaccination, who very, very clearly defined that the future of vaccination would be to take away the spirituality, the moral compass, and even the notion of being able to identify with quote-unquote God. That would be the result of, and the purpose, the intent behind these vaccines and drugs.
Right.
And before
antidepressant work.
Right. Before we go on, though, it's the connection. Before we go on, I want people to understand something. Okay, the word vaccination comes from the word vacca or cow. If you look at the old dictionaries, vaccination was called the cow disease. Like, there's no, vaccination is a word that means cow. It should not, we should not call vaccines, because vaccine refers to the vaccinia, which is cow pus, literally scraped from the part of the cow and directly placed into the body, which is how they still do it. And that was a treatment for smallpox, which is variola. And that has, those two diseases are completely different. It's a complete fraud, which I cover completely. It's amazing to look at that history, and that's where the quote-unquote science comes from. But you have to understand that what we're really talking about, or what the reason they call them vaccines and inoculations. Because, you see, to be innocuous is to be harmless. But if you look up the word inoculation, it has two meanings. And this is very important for people to understand. One of those meanings is the notion of budding. In other words, of someone putting plants together or trees together so that they grow in a hybrid sense. So you're budding. Well, that's exactly what they do when what happens when you get cancerous cells in your body, viral cells, and they cause you to have cancer because your body is confused because you suddenly have aborted fetal tissue from another human or cow or pig or insect or plant DNA in your body, and it's mixing and it's causing havoc, right? That's one definition. The other definition of inoculation is harm, to purposefully harm or infect with disease. All right. So when you say vaccination, you should be using the word inoculation. And the word inoculation specifically means to do harm and to cause, for lack of a better term, something to grow with inside you, which refers to cancer or other forms of disease. That is the definition of the word. That is not just me saying that. That literally go to any, at least older dictionaries, and that's what it'll say. And that's a very important part. But what I really want to get across is what we're talking about is being inoculated doesn't necessarily mean being stuck by a needle. Because there's drugs now that the way they're designing these drugs, Anne, is to break the blood-brain barrier, to break through the system, break through the digestive system, which would otherwise protect you, and to enter the bloodstream through the stomach, through the leaky gut, or through these angstrom-sized, you know, really small particles that can go into your body. So you're being inoculated not just through or vaccinated, not just through a needle, but also through food, through these additives, through all these different things. And that's why, like you say, stick to single ingredient foods that come from nature. Otherwise, you have no idea how all these food additives, which is a whole other subject, interact with each other to create these artificial and synthetic drugs inside your body. Once they get in there, they combine. And I mean, this whole thing, and it's to call it a conspiracy is an understatement. I mean, it's almost indescribable. But I just wanted to make that clear, that vaccination or inoculation is not just with a needle. They're doing it every way they possibly can.
The nasal sprays scare me to death.
Yeah.
The direct hit to the brain. So, but anyway, when the CIA was first formed, and I hope everyone knows how much George Bush was involved in all that, and his father as well. Anyway, when it was first formed, they took 80% of their initial budget and put it in a brown paper bag and sent two agents to Switzerland to buy up all the LSD that Sandoz Pharmaceutical Company had, because that was their drug of choice for mind control. Well, when they got over there, they found out that they only had a couple of ounces at Sandoz because they were growing it from ergot fungus. And so because they were growing it naturally, they didn't have what they needed. So they grabbed their bag of money and came back to the U.S. and went straight to Eli Lilly and asked them if they could come up with a synthetic version of LSD for them. They offered to deliver it by the truckload. And that started the whole fiasco of the CIA experimenting on the military, the public, prisoners, anyone that they could think of that they could get to take LSD. They wanted them on it. Then in 1966, now in the meantime, like you said, they brought 1,600 Nazi scientists over here after the war. And that was the CIA operation called Operation Paperclip. So, Congress stepped in and said, whoa, wait a minute. You know, they'd seen so much with LSD that they held hearings and banned LSD. And when that happened, reporters asked the CIA what they were going to do without their LSD, their drug of choice for mind control. They had so many mind control experiments going on. I don't know if people know that they even set up bordellos in San Francisco.
Yes. And,
yeah, they had two-way mirrors where they would dose the Johns with LSD as they came in to visit the ladies of the night.
Yeah, they hired the prostitutes. The prostitutes were spraying it or doing their drinks, right?
Yeah, they were doing their drinks.
Yeah.
So they would watch them through these two-way mirrors while the agents themselves were high as a kite on LSD. So it was just, it's no wonder they called them clowns. They were just drugged up idiots, as if they could document anything in changes of behavior when they were high as a kite. But,
and this was a technique called the artichoke, right? Where they would give someone LSD and then torture them, and basically wouldn't remember what happened, but they'd torture him, get all the information out, and they were doing that to us. I mean, regular, you know, American people as well as Germans and Russians and everybody else. But they were doing it in another country, and I don't remember which country. Well, I think it was Germany, where the CIA had a big headquarters.
Yeah, they did have a big headquarters there, and with the Bush connection, Prescott Bush was funding so much of what the Nazis were doing. It's unreal. I never knew any of this stuff. But the stuff that is out there now is just mind-boggling. So when reporters approached them and said, what are you going to do without the LSD? They said publicly to reporters, oh, we'll look to the pharmaceutical companies to see what they come up with in the way of a drug use for psychoanalysis that we can use for mind control. That was in 1966. My brother, I just learned this year, while on a mission for the LDS Church in Indiana, in Indianapolis, met a man who was working for Eli Lilly. Remember, that's the company they were getting their LSD from. He went on and on about how they were developing, so this is only 3 years later, they were developing this wonderful new drug that was going to cure depression for people, and it was just amazing. I'm going, oh my gosh, there's the link I've been looking for. For all this time, they were developing Prozac in no time after the CIA said that they would look to the pharmaceutical companies to see what they would come up with. So what they did is they developed this slow, gradual process of increasing the serotonin levels so that they could produce what they did with LSD.
God. Well, we'll take a quick break. Yeah, well, I mean, it's like the whole civilization is MK Ultra. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Dr. Ann Blake Tracy in a moment. Stay tuned, folks.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead. To change the bad to good. To live in harmony. It starts.
All righty, folks, welcome back. I'm Clint Richardson filling in for Deanna today. Well, at least for the last part of the show. With me, Dr. Anne Blaise Tracy, drugawareness.org, very important website she runs. There's a similarity here between the drugs that we're talking about, these reuptake inhibitors, antidepressants, antipsychotics, etc., and amphetamines seemed, you know, as I'm trying to understand the whole amphetamine thing, and I want you folks to understand now, our pilots, all of our pilots are recommended to be taking amphetamines. The only reason we found out that this was still going on is because some pilots actually bombed a friendly camp because they were having some kind of episode from the amphetamine. And you know, you're talking about this psychosis. Let me read you. I want to know if people are comfortable. And maybe this explains the horrors of war. If you consider that people, all these soldiers were given and are still being given even more advanced types of amphetamines and methamphetamines, etc., etc. Right. I mean, there was heroin and everything. Let me just read this list, right? Common side effects.
Antidepressants test out as amphetamines.
That's what I was going to ask you, because this study over here, amphetamine depresses excitatory synaptic transmission via serotonin receptors. Unexpectedly, this depression of of GLUTA, all that stuff, is mediated not by the activation of dopamine receptors, but instead by activation of serotonin receptors, and that's talking about amphetamines. It sounds like it's doing the same thing. Release of serotonin into a specific part of the brain. But let me, I just want to be clear here, folks. Why is war so brutal? Why are soldiers kicking puppies off cliffs? Why are these horrible things, rape, pillage, happening? Let me read you these side effects for just amphetamines. Agitation, anxiety, bladder pain, bloody or cloudy urine, crying, delusions of persecution, mistrust, suspiciousness, or combativeness, difficult burning or painful urination, false or unusual sense of well-being, a false or unusual sense of well-being, feeling of unreality, all right? Mental depression, nervousness, quick to react or overreact emotionally, rapid mood changes, a sense of detachment from self or body. Let me read that one again. Delusions of persecution, mistrust, suspiciousness, or combativeness. Folks, those are the most common side effects for amphetamines, and this is what pilots are taking. This is what they're giving to soldiers to keep them awake. And this is still going on very much. Yep. In fact, as my board op reminded me, ISIS was caught with a drug. I believe it's called Captagon, and it's an amphetamine, and it all has to do with creating these super soldiers. With all of these, I mean, if you had a bunch of what they like to call useless, you know, eaters or, you know, chess pieces, pawns on the battlefield that you know are just going to get, you know, you don't care if they live or die. If you're a psychopath in charge of military people, these are the perfect side effects. These aren't side effects. These are the main effects. They're the common effects or side effects, right? But they're really the main effects. And you get into seeing, hearing, or feeling things that aren't there. Severe mental changes are more rare, right?
According to a front page article in the New York Times, about 2001, when the Crown Prince of Nepal killed the whole royal family and himself, they included the fact that all of the suicide bombers were being given antidepressants.
Of course. How else would you actually justify that as being an honorable death? Of course, Japan was major in this as well during World War II, so it doesn't surprise me that they made that into a cultural, you know, honor by use of drugs. I mean, remember, folks, this is Adderall. This is Ritalin, yep. Concerta, Modafinil, which is another word for, I can't remember, but it's real popular now, Strattera, Adderall XR, Contrave, so many different things. These are amphetamines. These are the side effects. And as you say, Anne, you're not going to notice that you're going freaking insane. It's going to happen gradually, and by the time you do know it, you're already there.
Well, are you sitting down?
Fortunately, yes.
You know what they've given? You know what they've given children since about the 40s for bedwetting?
Yeah.
Antidepressants. One of the first reports I got back when my book went out was from a young man in the UK, and he wanted to let me know that he was so grateful to have the information because he finally understood that he really was not crazy growing up. It was his bedwetting medication. He said, "I never would have dreamed that was what was causing me to feel like I was crazy."
I suppose
what
this
serial killers have in common. Bedwetting is one of them.
I suppose this goes to suicide, the increase in suicide as well, right?
That's right.
Because every drug commercial I see seems to have suicide as a side effect, or suicidal tendencies, thoughts. So not only harming others, but harming yourself. Which again, if you read the Hippocratic Oath, that's the big thing. Do no harm to yourself or others, right? I mean, and let's be clear, Anne. Nobody can get this crap other than illegally. But people are getting this. The only way that drug companies can and the CIA can give this to people is through prescription. And the only people that can prescribe are doctors. Right? I want you folks to understand, you don't need to blame the drug companies. They're just filling a part. They're just evil bastards doing what they do best, okay? They would have no business if it weren't for doctors. So you have to look at the prescription, because guess what? Prescription, look up the word. Prescription is one of the most powerful words in law. It actually means to make law or to give law. They're saying that this is illegal, but for you, it's legal. Congress can't even do that, right? Congress cannot say, here, you take these drugs. It has to be a doctor. And that's why I say this Hippocratic Oath is non-existent. There's no punishment. And for God's sake, there's malpractice insurance. Mal means evil. Evil practice or bad practice insurance. You've got to be crazy to go to someone who's insured to act evilly or with malice towards you. I mean, we are nuts to go to these people and take these literal poisons. I mean, we've entered into the realm of craziness, and I think drugs have brought us to that point.
And 75% of doctors and nurses now are taking antidepressants.
Right. They're killing themselves. They're more than any other class or working structure. They don't recommend to their kids to be a doctor. That like 50-60%. All oncologists, I think, except one out of like, you know, 100 will they'll all say, no, I will not do chemo, but I'll recommend it to my patients. Right? That's sociopathy. That's sociopathic behavior. Anyway, I don't want to. We only have a half an hour left, so I want you to get all your points in.
Okay. Well, I mentioned George Bush a couple of times. The connections he had, of course, he ran the CIA for a short period. Then he was also the head of Eli Lilly.
Oh, I did not know that.
Owned at the time by Dan Quayle's dad. So as soon as he became president, who was the vice president? Payback, apparently. So, and then when George Bush got into office, he changed the laws for FDA approval so that Prozac could be approved on only 5 and 6 week studies. After that time, you know, they didn't look at what happened to you. I've also done shows with, and I don't know if you even knew this, the doctor that worked for Eli Lilly in Sweden was told to get the drug approved there because they had very strict laws on safety for drugs. And they knew that if they could get it approved in Sweden, because their own doctors had already told them the drug was causing suicide. And they said, well, we can't afford to lose the drug. So just tell them it's their underlying depression. And the idiots actually put it in a memo, so we've been able to use that in court. But anyway, they wanted it approved in Sweden so that the other countries would pretty much just look the other direction and go, well, Sweden's approved it, stamp it, it's fine. So he said, how? They said, any way you can. He said, money, and they said, sure. So I did a show with them, with that doctor, who came out because he felt really bad about bribing the approval, because he did go in and buy the approval. And that's how the drugs got on the market. So anyway, I asked him on a radio show we were doing together how much he paid the guy to get it done. It was a lousy $30,000. He promised him a couple of studies that he could do, a clinical trial study, which are worth several million. So, you know, I don't know whether he ever got it, but people need to know that the drug is on the market because of this bribe and because of George Bush and his connections with both the CIA and the drug company itself, and changing those laws. And then, of course, once George Jr. got in, he changed the laws when it came to going after the drug companies for any kind of damages, to where there was a cap of only like $250,000, which made it not worth even going after them because it costs you about that much to even file a case. So it has been, the connections just have really frightened me as I've looked at them closer and seen more and more connections. It's suppressed so that people will not find those connections.
Any idea of the percentage of the population that is either on amphetamines in various forms or, you know, these antidepressant antipsychotics?
America is their biggest market.
Of course. Crazy bastards.
And if you're going to include amphetamines with it, probably half of the population.
Well, you know, the reason I ask that is because more and more the people I talk to, and I myself have had to separate myself from certain people who, after studying narcissism, sociopathic behavior, psychopathic behavior, now they're starting to make shows about it as if it's, you know, they're normalizing it, yeah, enculturating people into this. It seems to me that they're... is a division between society of people who have been turned, if you will, or have had somehow had their empathy or their, you know, whatever shut off, and people who, so there's the sort of the predator and the victim left over. And if you don't realize you're a victim to these people, I highly recommend looking into narcissistic sociopathy, that type of thing, and finding out, because you're going to find out that you have friends that you thought were friends, but hey, wait a minute, this isn't a friend. This is someone taking advantage of me, right? And that, you'll be surprised at some of the explanations of that and how it works. But it seems like that is... especially in the entertainment aspect of it, that is becoming more and more of a daily, like you said, normalized phenomena with people. They're starting to understand that, hey, people all around me seem psychopathic and I don't really know what to, you're narcissistic or whatever. And it's kind of a helpless feeling.
Really scary. Because they don't know all this. They don't know that they're being used as guinea pigs.
Right.
The statement made by Dr. Solomon Snyder, if anybody's heard of Dr. Candace Pert, it was her work that was used to develop these drugs, the antidepressants. And she came out against them in 1997 and joined our board of directors. She called the drugs monsters and said that she was alarmed at that it was her research that was used to make this what it is. And she worked closely with Dr. Solomon Snyder. Snyder made a comment once that just put me right through the roof. He said that scientists love LSD because it taught them so much about the human brain.
Right.
No care at all in the world about the nightmare that that drug brought into so many lives, but just they learned so much about the human brain. That's all we are to them. It is just sickening. I don't know what all they're taking, but something's wrong.
Well, it's almost like, well, you know, I'm a big fan of the brain parasite, that they've got some kind of alien brain parasite that's driving them into this horrific thing they're doing, creating all this synthetic environment, basically terraforming the Earth. But that's a whole other story. I do want to ask you this. I'm noticing right now, like, for instance, they've just decriminalized mushrooms or psilocybin, the other drug. I can't remember what it is. Ayahuasca, I think.
It's all high as a kite. It's what I said in the very beginning. When LSD was taken away from them, they got really upset. They wanted to use these things on people to find out what was going on with them. And so I instinctively knew after reading so much that they were going to come back with everything they possibly could. People don't know that aspartame is a serotonin reuptake inhibitor.
Really?
It came out about 8 years before Prozac hit the market, and I believe it helped set people up for this.
Well, now
Gary
we're talking
about the pizza thing.
now we're talking about Donald Rumsfeld and Cyril Pharmaceuticals, right?
That's right.
Oh, geez. So, and that, oh, man, this is nuts.
Well, you got to know that when IG Farben was found guilty in Germany after World War II, they agreed to, what they did is they told them that they would have to break up, that they had become too strong a company, and they wanted them to break up into all these other little small companies. Apparently, from everything I've heard, they agreed to do that and then slowly merge back together into a force. And you see them doing that. Isn't Pfizer the largest now?
I've lost track. I think so. Glaxo's MedClient is close.
What's happening. And what's really weird with these drugs, and you saw that in that case that they just found the guy guilty yesterday and gave him life plus 419 years or something for that. It was insane. That protest over taking one of the statues down back in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Did you see that where they gave him that kind of sentence?
I didn't see it.
He has been on these drugs since he was 6 years old. They diagnosed him as bipolar at age six. And he was totally obsessed with anything that had to do with Nazis. And look at Eric and Dylan at Columbine. They even did the shooting on Hitler's birthday.
Well, for those that don't know, that is one of your areas of expertise is sitting as a professional witness in all of these school shooting cases.
Right.
Phil Hartman, if I'm not mistaken, all of those cases, yep, where every single case, as far as I understand, has been revolved around these drugs, right?
Right. There were two I couldn't find. But that's only because I couldn't get through to find all the information on them.
Of course.
anyway, I remember there was a 14-year-old girl and a 10-year-old, her 10-year-old brother, both of them on the drugs. Paxil was the antidepressant they were on. They took their little 7-year-old brother out back, stabbed him to death, and buried him in the backyard. The girl had cut a swastika on her belly. And we've seen this over and over and over and over again. I'm going, what is this Nazi connection?
Well, you know, one of the things I discovered is very interesting to me, especially, you know, I've read a lot of Hitler's works just because I want to understand what the heck was happening back then. And, you know, Hitler's doctor was a Jew, and he, when they caught up with him after Hitler's death, he fully declared that he was purposefully giving, you know, as his personal physician, his name was Dr. Morell, he was giving him heroin, cocaine injections, amphetamine, methamphetamine, and one other drug, purposefully to basically drive the man, you know, insane. And that actually explains a whole lot, because when you read Hitler's,
right,
if you listen to the speeches, you listen to his works, you're like, well, wait a minute. That's something someone today might say. You know, there's a lot of really interesting things. The man had ideas, and that's why he was popular. He didn't hide behind glass like the Pope, for instance. he was not afraid. His ideals were something to actually look at in a neutral capacity. But once those drugs got in, and he ordered all of his soldiers that they should be on Pervitin, which was methamphetamine, you know, then right, everything just went to hell. And that explains, again, what happened. You know, why did this turn so ugly? And here's his doctor saying, yeah, I did it on purpose. I wanted to destroy Hitler.
Oh, jeez. Even arsenic and get it over.
It amazed me to see that. And this is actually in a documentary, but I mean, this explains so much when it comes to not only society in general, but the wars, these horrible wars with, like I said, if now ISIS or these Arab, inductees into these crazy orders are being given these kind of drugs to create the super soldier. What?
Never heard the interview with the Taliban psychiatrist. There was an LA Times reporter that went over 3 months after 9/11. And he interviewed the Taliban psychiatrist. I went, oh my gosh, they got their own. And he said that he had some general that would keep putting himself on the front lines because he was so suicidal. But anyway, then he went on. As they were talking, there was a young girl laying on a couch, and she was waiting for them to finish, and she finally put her hand to her forehead and said, oh, doctor, do we need to sacrifice another goat so that I can feel better? And he said, nay, nay, nay. Allah has given these drugs such great power. And the reporter said there were, you know, posters of all the different antidepressants around the room. He said, Allah has given these drugs such great power that swallowing them is like swallowing a little piece of God.
Ugh.
Like somebody said, Satan's sacrament, huh?
Well, yeah. I mean, this reminds me of, Anne, exactly. Have you ever seen They Live?
No.
I mean, you got to see it. Because, well, yeah, this is one that I think everybody should see. It's amazing. But he, you know, he puts on his sunglasses and then he can see reality. And this is kind of like what it is. Like, all these things are being advertised as something that they're not, when in reality, oh, yeah, they're being used to drive us all in, I mean, to a level of insanity, or to a level of high functioning autism, or to a level of whatever.
Right.
You know, I before before we get cut off, there were two things I wanted to do with you, and I know one of them is well, let me go back to the mushroom and the psilocybin and the ayahuasca and all that stuff first. Now, there's a decriminalization thing going on. They're saying that DMT and all these, by the way, DMT is synthetic. It is, you know, there's nothing natural about it, and yet everybody has sort of the same experience where they think they're talking to God or whatever. How close to these things are those?
Oh, pretty, very close. That's just it. They want everyone high as a kite. I said this is World War III and they're fighting it with chemicals.
Right.
The whole idea was to get us to the point that we would start using all of the drugs that had been banned.
This is being promoted as the cure-all for society.
Look at ketamine. Look at ketamine. Ketamine is a sister drug. Yeah. It's a sister drug to PCP, and it's being promoted as the most wonderful thing for depression. So they went exactly right where I said they were going to go. They've gone right back to it. There's a big article in the Ogden Standard Examiner not long ago. They're everywhere. There's an article everywhere about how wonderful ketamine is. A sister drug to PCP. Should have been pulled from the market when PCP was. They're dissociative anesthetics. They knock out the brain and the body continues to go. If you do a brain scan on any of these people, they're in an anesthetic sleep state and dreaming while they talk to you. Nobody is home.
Well,
we need brain scans on everybody in Congress and the Senate.
That, right? This brings me, of course, you know, you always like to end with, you know, we told you all these horrible things because there is a solution or there is hope. I'm not going to offer hope. I'm not going to offer a solution, but I do want to ask you.
Oh, don't quit. Don't just quit. Whatever.
Well,
you
right.
Do.
Professionally, there's a lot of people out there who claim to have the understanding and knowledge of how to get off of these drugs. And I'm sure that you've done enough research at this point that you can pretty much, without giving medical advice, say which method or how much time is needed or how, you know, who do you recommend or what do you recommend? I hope you're not going to recommend another drug.
No. You have to go off everything, but you have to go off extremely slowly, because you don't want the drugs dumping back into your system quickly. If they do, you're going to go psychotic. So you have to take almost half the time you were on the drug to come off. Unless you've been on like over 5 years, you generally need a little over a year to wean off each 5 years you were on. So say you were on 10 years, you're going to need to take 2.5 to 3 years to wean off safely. Because if you come off too quickly, it can hit you quite a while after.
Well, I mean, I've been victims. I've played the victim to people who, you know, you try to help people come off, you tell them to do it slowly. They do it slowly, but over a couple months. And it's still not, and the insanity, the sociopathy, you know, it's broken up relationships. It's amazing what that is. So you're saying over how long?
Yeah. Let me tell you about one lady.
I was helping her come off. She had been on for 10 years. I gave it to her for IPF. Zoloft for IPF.
When stomach?
Yes. Irritable bowel syndrome. So she starts coming off of the drug. And I talked to her. I said, whoa, wait a minute. You're coming down twice as fast as what I told you. Oh, but I feel fine. I'm just doing great. I'll be okay. Blah, blah, blah. Well, instead of taking the amount of time that she needed to come off, which would have been a little over 2 years after 10 years on, she came off in a little over a year. And after she'd been off the drug about a month, she got up one morning and beat her husband with a baseball bat. Good morning.
Right. They had been childhood sweethearts. They'd been together their whole lives. He gave her two choices. He either called the police or a psych ward. She chose the psych ward. It cost her $30,000. She never saw her husband again. He refused to ever talk to her again.
Can't imagine why.
She came out of the psych ward on 5 drugs. One of them was Zoloft. So she had all those drugs she had to wean off after coming out.
Well, since we only have about a minute left, this information... This information is on drugawareness.org, right?
Yes, it is.
And
there, we also have SSRIstories.net, which are all the cases. You'll have all the school shootings and what they were on. And there's also a young man who's the only school shooter who's ever spoken out. There's a video clip of him about 10 minutes long, explaining what happened to him, and the whole world needs to see that.
I think you told me that your book is out of print now, but you can still get the PDF, right?
Yeah, there's a ebook version, yes, on the website.
And I tell you, man, just the first few pages of your book, when I read it, the quotes that you put in there were mind-boggling. I just couldn't believe it when I was reading it. But, hey, I hear the music. That means we're out of time. Thanks so much, Ann. I apologize, folks, that we don't have time to take calls. Thank Ann Blake Tracy, drugawareness.org. And, send me an email, strawmanstory.info, if you'd like to learn more about my documentary book thing that I'm doing. How you can help. Need some editors. Thanks, folks. We'll talk to you soon.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.